Gives me tremendous pleasure and nachas to welcome back into our studio, Peter Dirk Ace. How are you?
I'm fine.
I almost didn't recognize you. You look fantastic.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that you've ever not looked fantastic,
like surprised,
but,
yeah.
But really, like you just, you don't age, you get younger and younger.
This is my passport picture, it's 300 years old.
Really?
Yes.
Nobody
you know,
believes
I think
passport
it's
pictures.
All a case of baby oil. I've been taking my makeup, if he does makeup off with Johnson's baby oil for the last 40 years, look, if it's baby oil is good for a baby's bum, it's okay for my face. So I think that's why
I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah. It's just not getting your eyes, but no, it's great.
Doesn't it make your makeup run a bit?
No, but you're taking it off. The whole point is you take makeup off with the baby oil.
And then you wash your face.
And then and that's, so if I've done that like 4 times a week, it shows, you see.
Gosh, is it too late for me?
No, darling, of course not.
All right, so we had some questions for you.
Yes.
Actually, Simon had a question.
I had a question because it's something in the back of my mind. There's a story and it moved me at the time. And I don't know if I read it or what, about a piano.
Mm.
A piano. And I think your sister was involved and your mother, and I'm going to shut up and pass it
over. Well, let me
tell
you, the piano came from Berlin, came from Charlottenburg. My mother brought it with her in 1936 when she left Germany with her piano to join her parents in Cape Town because her fiancé had sent them all there to protect them because they were Jewish. Something we only found out after she was dead. Now, how's that for denial?
Wow.
I had a mother
stuff
with me, and we never talked about it all. And our best friends were Jewish friends, and my favorite place to go to was to go to their houses because they had such fantastic food. I was crazy about it. And their mothers were so absolutely divine, you know. But I do respect that and appreciate the fact that having escaped one horror story, you don't want to actually open the chapter again. And, you know, marrying into an Afrikaans family, you know, Afrikaners are also pretty anti-Semitic. I mean, they don't even like each other. So that the piano came to Pinelands, and there it was in the music room, this Blüchner. My sister learned how to play on the piano. I didn't practice, so I didn't play much on the piano. But I used to stand there and write my plays. When we used to write before I typed them, I used to write them longhand with my glass of red wine on the piano. And that was so part of my development. And then things changed, and of course my mother died in 1969, and then my dad died in 1990, Tessie had the house because she loved the house in Pinelands. I was glad to leave because of the hay fever I got from the thatch.
Oh, yes.
And the piano was there, and Tessie was in Berlin at the Jewish Museum. She was taken by friends, and she met the curator, who said, I've heard that you're a pianist, and she said yes, and that your mother was Charlottenburg and Jewish, and she said yes. She said, we've got an exhibition upstairs I want to show you. It's called Heimat und Exil, Home and Exile. And it is an apartment of a Jewish family in Charlottenburg in the 30s. So Tessie went into this exhibition. She said the first thing that shocked her was how much of the furniture was familiar because my grandparents had brought their furniture from Charlottenburg in the 30s. But there was no piano. And Tessie said, where's the piano? Every Jewish family had a piano. And he said, we haven't found one. She said, I've got one.
Oh,
it's in Cape Town.
Goodness me.
It came from Charlottenburg, and it can come back. So the piano came back to Berlin, and it's now in the Jewish Museum, part of the exhibition. And Tessie comes every year and does a recital on the piano, on her mother's piano. And I do shows there with my characters in the piano. The props, I take P.V. Buerta out of the piano.
Wow.
So I have been doing work there with them, and I love it. It's a great place to be.
The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up after that.
Let me tell you something more. I get SMSs all the time from people who say, I'm standing next to Helga's piano. And so many people have said, this Jewish museum is so filled with pain and sorrow and loss. And yet there is a piano that just brings the healing power of music, which is international, which is goes through ages and centuries. And to me, that has just been such a wonderful tribute to her. And there's a picture of her on the wall, sitting at her piano in her apartment in Berlin.
Wow.
Incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. Peter, you said that you and your sister only found out that your mom was Jewish after she had passed away.
Mm.
How did you find out?
My uncle told me. Her brother said, you know, of course, that your mother was Jewish. You were Jewish. And when he said that to me, it was such a relief because I always knew it. I always felt it. I was always waiting for it.
It's a funny thing because we recognize each other. You can be standing in a queue at the bank.
And
you,
I was
and
thrilled.
And you know.
I didn't actually say to him, why didn't you tell me? I don't know. Listen, Afrikaans kids in those days, kids like me, we didn't ask questions. I mean, the one thing I say in my book, which is being launched at the moment, The Echo of a Noise, when my father had died an hour before, and I just thought, why hadn't I asked him more questions about his life? Why didn't I ask Pa more questions about Ma's life? Why didn't I say to him, after my mother had died, say to my father, was she Jewish? But I didn't do that. I knew more about Sophia Loren's family than my own family.
Yeah.
And so many people have said to me, that's exactly what we're going through. When we left your performance, we phoned our granny. This girl said to me, I phoned my granny. I said, yes. She said, yes. I said, granny, I want you to tell me about your life. And granny said, well, yes, you never asked me. What do you want to ask me? She said, granny, when did you have your first orgasm? She said, and granny told me. And it changed my life with her. Suddenly we talked about things that we never thought we'd talk about.
Real
and she
stuff.
Gave me advice, which I needed. So that's please incredible. Talk to your granny.
Peter, you must have so many stories. I mean, you really are one of the South Africans that helped to shape our country. You did it by making us shocked. You shocked us into laughter during the apartheid years through your different characters. And that is such a tremendous gift. I mean, I
had the chutzpah.
But it really is such a gift.
Well, thank you.
Where do we go now? How do you see South African society? What do we need?
We need to stop worrying about the negative because there's nothing we can do about it. And the more we worry, the more sick we get. And the more wrong words we use to express our anger, the negative will always win, because politicians use the power of fear to silence us.
Sure.
Our kids, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our friends, our communities celebrate the talent, celebrate the humor. If there's a problem, go help people out. Who knows who lives next door? Most people don't know who lives next door. So Evita always says to them, well, why don't you take them some Cook Sisters? And if it's a Muslim family, their recipe for Cook Sisters is going to be better than yours. I really think we are in an extraordinary country and an extraordinary democracy that really, truly, we didn't deserve. We whites got away with apartheid. Let's not forget, the majority of people embraced us and said, okay, let's move on. Thanks to Nelson Mandela and many, many.
All leadership.
And we've got some very good politicians in South Africa that we are ignoring because we keep our eyes on the rubbish. The rubbish will end up in the dirt bin. The good people will make the country a better place, and we must support them.
You know, I look at that and I think it's nice to have good politicians, and Nelson Mandela comes along one in 250 billion years. But ultimately, it comes down to the yous and me's.
It comes down to the yous and me's.
That's really who's going to make or break this country.
We have the vote. We have freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and that great, great healing medicine called humor.
Yeah. Mm. When are you doing a show next in Joburg?
Next year, I'm writing a show with me and Evita together on stage together.
Oh,
together on stage
fantastic.
Together.
That's
how's
amazing.
That going to be?
That's awesome. So it'll be all four of you.
No, with all my schizomultifrenia. No, and listen, yeah, there will be more. There will be quite a few characters as well, because it will be a sort of celebration of Evita, and then she'll appear and she'll say, stop doing this. You can't do me anymore because you're a man and I'm a woman and it's politically incorrect.
Hashtag me too. That is absolutely wonderful. I know that you're under time pressure.
But lovely to talk to you.
Please come back.
Yes, I will.
And let us know in advance of your show.
Okay.
We'd love to talk about it, and we'd love to help you promote it.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Peter Dirk Ace.